It's time to fire it up.
Fight.
In the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Hey, welcome. It's the weekend, and you listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM all over this great state of Michigan, and hopefully wherever you're listening on that world wide web. Spring has sprung where we're sitting, and there's a lot of talk about grilling and what's going on in your backyard. And if you're like me, there's a long list of projects that need to be done. But we'll talk a little bit about all of that this week. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And thanks for joining us. We are endeavoring to provide you with some content and some instruction and some fun regarding your grill or smoker or back deck and just man fun. So, Jop, I got to break some news to you on the show, which, you know, I love to do. But next weekend, I am going to be gone because I have to go to the UP. My cousin passed away. And,
okay.
He was a great guy, a Vietnam vet and a gentle giant. He was a big dude. And we're missing him, but I'm sort of the family funeral guy. I try to go to any funeral that I can within reason, and this is one I just really have to make.
All right, so we're soliciting a co-host
there
with me
go.
For next week.
There you go.
If you'd like to do that, go to thegrillingguys.com,
yeah.
Send me a note, and you can sit in Bob's chair, and
yeah.
I'm sure do just as good as either one of us would do.
Fumigate it before you do.
Right. Yeah.
Get rid of the cockroaches.
No, well, that sucks that you got family members passing away.
Well,
but, Bob, we're old,
only
man.
Only going to happen more and more.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. We are old. It's funny you say the UP because this last week, I have a brother that's 75 and lives in Texas, and he's bringing his brother-in-law and sister-in-law.
Rick is 75?
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Yep. And he's coming in August, and we're going to the UP.
Where are you going?
Well, we're gonna spend 2 days up there. We're gonna see
Kitchikippi,
Tequamanon Falls.
Yeah.
We're gonna go do the boat tour up in Munising and Pictured Rocks.
Beautiful.
And then we're gonna hit the Mackinac Island because the people that he's bringing with him have never been to Michigan
well,
before.
Well, then make sure you go to Grand Marais.
Oh yeah.
And you go to Superior Brewing and have the whitefish.
Okay.
You will be blown away.
All right.
It's fantastic.
So I'm the tour guide because they don't know where they're going
okay.
and what they're doing. So we're going to take a week and go up there then that week of August. So
there's a lot of cool trails around if you want to do any hiking. There are hidden waterfalls all around
yeah.
Munising.
I got 75 and
fantastic.
A 78-year-old and their spouses with me, so we're probably not going to do a ton of walking.
Mm-hmm.
My sister-in-law has a touch of MS, so it slows her down a little
okay.
bit. So we're good, though.
A
it'll
touch
be fun.
Of MS, yeah.
Well, it could be a lot worse, put
okay.
it that way. She's
sure.
still very mobile, but it's weakened her. And
yeah.
she's, you know, she's 76 as well. So, but, hey,
well,
you know what?
Be
they're
fun.
Coming up. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, and I'm going to introduce them to pasties. My brother, who's lived in Texas most of his life, can't remember if he's ever eaten one or not. And all the rest of the people he's bringing up don't even know what they are.
Well, wait till you get to Munising to try them. Because
yeah?
the further west you go, the better they get.
Oh, yeah?
And I'll
they
turn
get rutabaga in them then? Or?
I'll turn you on to a place in Munising that is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
There's some you don't want.
Right. Well, we're going to be taking the Sunset Boat Cruise.
Nice.
I already bought the tickets for that for Pictured Rocks. So that'll be
it.
Great. A pasty will be fill your belly right before you go out
wonderful,
on the water, right?
Wonderful.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
I'm getting my experience with a drum sander. And I've
That's
been...
something that I'm pretty sure I don't want any experience with.
It looks like a floor buffer, except the wheel goes around like a belt sander, but
right.
it's just this big wheel. And it grinds down the surface of your deck. So my deck, I'm going to say I built it in 91, 92.
So it doesn't owe you anything.
No, but it's giant.
Right. Oh, I know.
So to put synthetic on it right now is very intimidating, and I just don't feel like shelling out $30,000 for
right.
a deck surface. So I'm investing a few hundred to see if some elbow grease can't buy me a couple more years until
sure.
maybe lightning hits it or something.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, we can get some force lightning going out there.
I put a cable on it. It hasn't worked so far.
Right, yeah, right. There's a lightning rod up there.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's. I spent the whole day Thursday and Friday, 2 days actually, Thursday afternoon and Friday, doing it. And wow, what a lot of work. And so here's a little word to the wise for all you young homeowners or new homeowners who maybe aren't used to womanized wood. Never, ever put stain or paint on them. Just use water seal. I always use Thompson's water seal.
Clear.
I'm sure there's, just the clear. Don't put any pigment on it because you're asking for trouble. And anybody with any experience, builders, remodelers, they'll all tell you the same thing. All you have to do is seal it once a year and it'll look great. Never mind the color. You bought green, it'll turn blonde.
And then it'll turn gray.
Blonde is always good.
Right. Yep. And I have the same thing. My deck is not nearly as large as yours, but I power wash it, right? But you can't be too aggressive with your power washer because you'll blow, I think it's called pith, P-I-T-H. You'll blow that out of there in the wood fibers, and then it impacts the longevity of your wood.
Well, it turns it into a sliver machine.
Right. So what I bought, and I don't have it yet.
Indoor-outdoor carpet?
No. No, I bought, when you said drum sander, it made me think of it. It's a round head for the power washer, and it's got a wand that spins like a clock handle, like a clock
dial.
So
it's a scrubber.
Right, yep. And I think they're made for cement, right?
Okay.
Because it's got four rollers on it, and you roll it along, and it just keeps you from going left and right with your back, and you just kind of push it along slow and let it clean. But they go up to 4,000 PSI, which is way too much for your deck.
Yeah.
And I've got, I think ours is like 2,400 PSI, which is perfect.
Yeah.
And we're just going to roll that thing along and see how it does. But save your back. And it was $80 online.
Well, I'd have to say my deck is now pithless because we've been power washing it for years.
Right. Well, and then you said you're sanding it down.
Yeah.
So you'll take all those ridges out.
We have, and now it's gorgeous.
Right. Yep.
So then what you're saying is, be careful with the power washer.
Right. Don't put the nozzle too close to the deck because you'll start blowing wood fibers up rather than just cleaning the dirt and the mold off.
Right.
And that's permanent damage to your deck.
Yeah.
And you don't really need to
do
that.
And I'll be getting a drum sander again.
Yeah, right.
I'm down to the screw heads right now. I'm telling you.
What are all those shiny dots on Bob's deck?
Yeah. And those belts are $11 a piece.
Right.
Ask me how many I bought.
Right. And then you go through and hit a screw head and it'll tear one up and instantly.
Well, what the guy at the Home Depot rental told me was, don't go into the screws because then you'll be buying us a new drum.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yep. So I was dogging it.
Well, there you go, because most of us don't have tools like that. So you go to a place like Home Depot or a rental joint.
Yeah.
And you know what? They need to maintain their tools too.
Yep.
And just be careful because they know what it went out there looking like. And when it comes back, if it's looking different, there's, you know.
But what grilling guy doesn't have a back deck? I don't think you can even be a grilling guy if you don't have a deck or two.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's some of us that grill out of the garage, right? Yeah.
But you walk on your deck on your way
right,
to the garage.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really good. You dropped a little nugget there. That's really good. Pithy comment.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to pith anybody off, but it is the truth. It is the truth. You got to be careful about it because you can't repair that. It's not anything you can repair. And
when
you have
to buy new wood, you'll pith your pants.
Right, yeah, and your paycheck away, too, because it's a, okay, we'll stop this. But anyway,
pithy.
So, Bob, we were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, I think sometimes the grilling guys get a little too heady about this whole grilling arm of what we do.
Why, what do you say that for,
right,
Randy?
Yeah, so we're gonna back it off a little bit, and we're going to start with the basics. Bob talked to a few people this week that hadn't ever grilled before, and they were asking some advice, and it's like it's just a gentle reminder that, you know, not everybody has six grills and wants to do gourmet food.
Well,
some people just want to grill learn how to do it.
You take it so for granted. We take it so for granted.
Right.
I remember the first time meeting you when we started swapping notes and all this, but I ran into this veteran this week, and the guy was, I'm going to say, 34. And we get to chatting with him, and it turns out he's Martin Rogalski's son. And Martin Rogalski is the trust attorney that Jethro FM turned me on to. Great guy from Jennison if you need a trust.
Yep.
Anyway.
So anyway, coming up next, we're gonna start with Grill 101, and we'll talk about equipment, techniques, recipes. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Welcome back. It's The Grilling Guys on The Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. Just want to brighten your Saturday morning a little bit here and talk a little bit about grilling, because the season is here, and we should have a nice discussion about a couple different things that we think are important.
Common questions, too.
Right.
You know, like I said, I'm talking to this nice young man. He's like my kid's age, a little older, but my daughter's age is maybe mid-30s, and just a beaming, you know, he's in the Army National Guard, and he's making a career of it, and he wants to get into different things we discussed, and just, you know, really admired the kid. And he said I told him about, you know, the show and all this, and he goes, well, I'm going to buy a grill. What should I get? And so that sets up all the questions.
Right.
Right? I want to know all the facts. And I have almost the same answer for everybody. If you've never had a grill, your first grill, I mean, it should be in the Constitution. It should be a basic charcoal grill. Now, I happen to like the Weber kettle, and it's still American-made, even though Warren Buffett owned it. We'll see how long that lasts. We bought it. But It's still American made. The kettle is, and it's a fantastic story. They used to make the buoys for the Great Lakes, big metal round balls.
Right.
And the, you know, Mr. Stevens, before he welded the two halves together, made a grill out of one, sort of like Tech Infrared did with their first infrared grill. Max, okay. Old man Best, Bill Best, did the same thing. He made one in the shop. And all the guys in the shop are grilling. Well, that's how the kettle came about. And I think if you're a new guy to the grill, you should start off with basics. Sort of like, when you're riding a bike. You don't buy your kid a 10-speed. You know, you get them a basic bike just so they, because they're going to beat it up. They're going to ruin it. So with a kettle, they're indestructible. If you put a cover on it, it's got a nice paint coating on it. You put some good charcoal in it. Don't get the crappy big brand briquettes. Get yourself some decent lump and learn to grill on good charcoal.
Right. So a couple things there. Charcoal takes time. And in our hectic society, some people don't have that. You need to, because that makes it better. But some people will gravitate to our gas grill, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to talk about the charcoal grill, because there's a couple must-dos. First of all, it generally doesn't take nearly as much charcoal to cook on as you think it does.
Correct.
Do not pour the bag in there and then try to get it going.
You will have a fire all night. It'll
right.
keep you warm on these cold Michigan nights.
Right. So, but the other thing is invest in one of those little chimneys or something like it that gets the charcoal
Great
going
idea.
Before you put it in
Great
the grill.
Idea. And they're so easy to use.
Right, right. And all that is it looks like a chimney with a handle on it, and you put a fire starter below
it. It looks like an old-fashioned flour sifter mom used to have.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
yeah.
The handle and the can.
Yeah.
Except you just pour your charcoal in it, and the intention was you put some crumpled-up newspaper underneath it, but most people don't know what those are.
Right,
so
yeah.
So you buy the fire starters
right.
from Rutland, and or you get the ones from Weber, the white paraffin cubes. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
And the other thing is, keep it simple. Don't start yourself off sweating it like, I don't know anything. We're going to do this in segment four, but we're going to talk about the easy things to start grilling.
Right. So when you got your charcoal, you know, you put it in this chimney, get one. If you're going to use charcoal, you need to have one of these because it's like a basic tool. It's what you need to do. You get your fire going, let those coals maybe 15, 20 minutes, and they're going to start to turn white. Right. Or the if you're using lump, you'll see it turn red because it gets hot and the embers are, it kind of fluctuates a little bit and you'll see that it's hot. And then when you pour it in your grill, kind of pile it up a little bit on one side. Don't just let it cover the whole bottom of the grill, because what you're going to find later in the show is we're going to tell you that there's hot spots and cold spots on a grill, and you need to use those to your advantage, not to worry about them, because at some point, your food's going to be done, and you might want to move it away, keep it warm, and not cook it so much.
Or your skills will start to advance. And when you first start grilling, don't worry about if you put it, on the side or not.
Right.
But you're absolutely right, because as you get more advanced, you're going to learn about indirect grilling, and you're going to want to offset things. But also, I would say get yourself some, or fashion it out of metal, whatever you want, and somebody ought to make one of these, but get yourself a little bitty rake of sorts, and to be able to push those coals around, because they really melt your fingertips when you start picking them up.
Well, a good set of metal tongs, you can do it, but then you don't want to use them for your food if you've moved the fire around. So you may need two sets. A spatula would work, longer handle spatula with its metal, not plastic. And because those
and a good pair of welding gloves.
Right. Yep. And
because the average barbecue gloves are junk.
Right. So you've got your fire going now, and the reason I said put it over to one side, one, it'll stay warmer. When coals burn better together than they do separated apart. And then if you move it over to one side, you've got a grilling spot on your if we're using a kettle grill or your charcoal grill, whatever it is, where you're going to put your product on there, your hot dogs, your burgers, whatever you're starting with first, and that grill is hotter over there, and you'll get a little sear. And then they won't stick so bad, especially burgers, right? So just little tips like that that'll get you going. And if you've not done this before, I mean, I don't know who's grown up. Maybe there's guys out there that didn't eat food off a grill that maybe an uncle or dad or a brother has cooked. And you
or mom.
Right, mom, yeah.
There's a lot of dads that don't grill.
Right, yep, exactly. Conrad, who you? What shoulder are you looking over? Right. Yeah.
Eye contact is so rude.
Yeah. Even on the radio.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Because everybody sees.
Yeah. But anyway, so you get your charcoal grill going, and then we'll talk in the next segment. But how do you know when things are done?
Right.
I mean, that's another thing.
I want to back you up a second there too, because you started off by saying people don't have always time, and my mantra, and I'm afraid it is it really doesn't take more time. You have to adjust your schedule in terms of when you light your grill. That's the only difference. It doesn't take any longer to light a charcoal grill than it does a gas grill. It's about the same. You just have to do it 15 minutes earlier than you were going to do your gas grill.
Right.
And if you say you don't have 15 minutes, I would tell you need to clean up your calendar a little bit, because you're missing life.
Well, you remember when you had all the kids and you had that window from after school till practice, and you got to feed them all.
I understand that, but I'm saying, if you were going to go out there at 5:15 and light for a 5:30 grill, go out there at 5. You know, just simply jump it up 15 minutes and get it started. And here's the thing: if you have good charcoal, and there's plenty of good ones out there, and you hone your skills, you will not want to use gas as much, because when you get used to that smell and that taste, man, it's. I remember the first time I had to use Kingsford in my big smoker because I got stuck at an event. Rob Russell and I were somewhere, and that's what the guy brought. And I smelt that stuff burning, and I'm used to burning, good charcoal.
Right.
And I smelt that briquette burning, and And I couldn't believe the toxicity coming off of it.
The difference,
and that's because of the stuff they put in the molds.
Yep. Coming up next, we're going to take a little diversion, go down to Al and Bob Sports and talk a little bit of steelhead and salmon. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob, we've been talking about grilling equipment a little bit, and we're gonna finish that up at the end of the show, but right now, you know, the spring of the year, there's turkey, there's walleye, but there's also steelhead and salmon. And
big time.
All of this stuff takes a bunch of gear, right?
Yeah. Or at least the right gear.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So if you're like me, you just have a buddy that's got it all, and you make sure that you're buying boat gas and all the beer he can drink, right?
Yeah. So who better to go to than our long-term partners at Al and Bob Sports and Millbrook Tack. So on the grilling line right now, we've got Ben Rand on. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, we're excited to hear. I love steelhead. And last year I went up to the Rogue, and I felt like I was pretty out of touch. So if I'm going up to the Rogue here in the next few days, and I'm going to bring a couple of my steelhead rods and my gear, what do I want on the end of that line?
You know, this time of year is a really interesting time of year. You know, not just steelhead fishing. Everything's kind of taken off right now. So it's a beautiful time to be out. But if you're going out to the Rogue, the Rogue, St. Joe, Kalamazoo River, you know, wherever you're going, I like to keep it pretty simple this time of year. We have a huge selection of different hard bead options. One of our most popular ones is a Slay and Steel hard bead. They're locally made, locally painted.
So you're saying hard bead.
Yep. So it's basically going to imitate an egg floating down the river from a steelhead.
Mm-hmm.
And I like running them under a float. It usually works in a little bit deeper water that you'd see in those bigger rivers.
Explain running them under a float.
Yeah, so we've got different floats. We've got two main brands. We've got the Blood Run floats and the Raven floats. And what they are, what makes them different is they're made out of a balsa or a foam, so they float a little bit more true. So running this bead below the float, what it's going to allow you to do is match the current of the water and match that speed so you're getting the most natural presentation possible. This, you know, instead of running it, what they call bottom bouncing, which is
right.
a
snag,
you know, the weight on the bottom and it kind of bouncing along the bottom with the current.
So tell me, what is this float? Is this that bobber looking thing with the point on each end?
Yeah. Yep. So all it is, it's a bobber, but instead of, you know, a spring bobber like you'd use for bluegill or, you know, a slip bobber like you'd use for, you know, those deeper fish. This just has basically a small dowel running through the center of it, and you put little pieces of rubber tubing on either side to keep it in place. And what that allows you to do, it allows you to still change the depth easily, but it stays put pretty well as well.
So then this bead that's down below, it's got a hook associated with the bead. So you buy this, it's the bait that you tie on the end of your line, correct?
So you're going to be able to buy, you'll buy your hook and then you'll buy your bead.
Okay.
So what you'll do, usually I like using, you know, a size 6-ish, just regular octopus hook. You can get away with a size 4 if you're using a bigger bead, or a size 8 if you're using a smaller bead. And then you'll purchase the bead. And all the bead really is, it's a, you know, a circle piece of plastic.
Looks like a pearl.
Go ahead.
Looks like a pearl.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's got a little hole in it that you put your line through, and then you'll slide what they call a bead stop, which is basically just a little, you know, basically rubber dowel-looking deal.
So, Job, for geezers like us, bring your readers.
Yeah.
Because putting that line through that bead is
yeah,
a
right.
son of a gun.
You break it off, and then you're done fishing if you don't have your cheaters
you
with
can't
you.
Can't get them in there.
Yeah, absolutely. The good thing is, hopefully, I mean, not for the next few days, but we do have some warmer weather coming, so doing all that with your fingers, they'll be working a little bit better.
Yeah. All right, so you just float this down the current, and, of course, the float acts as an indicator. And
yep.
if it goes under the water, you've either snagged something or a fish took it, right? I mean, it's
absolutely,
simple.
Yeah. Set the hook.
Simple. Set the hook.
So you're not going to put any live bait on that then?
I don't. Another option would be using, you know, spawn sacks. And, yeah, I mean, we offer that as well. Or if you've caught fish, you know, throughout the year, you'll probably have gotten some fresh roe. But that's going to be the same sort of deal. You're going to use a very similar hook, and then instead of using that bead and putting that bead above the hook, you'll just hook that spawn sack right to it.
Who ties those spawn sacks anyway? I don't know how you'd ever get that accomplished.
Well,
it's got to be a machine.
You know, it's really not as hard as it looks, because all you get, it's a square piece of mesh with some, you know, stretchy thread. And you just put the roe right inside, close it up, and then you just wrap the thread and pull, and it breaks off and holds everything in there nice and tight.
Kind of like a mantle for a gas lantern.
Yeah,
okay.
A little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, exactly. That's an old reference.
Even I could do that.
I don't know if they even make lanterns anymore that have mantles.
Oh, trust me. Yeah. We have our we have our Coleman story from last year, remember?
Right, yeah.
All right. Okay, let's say I want to go after salmon instead of steelies. Same thing?
You know, so right now it's getting to the end of when, you know, the bulk of that steelhead, but specifically salmon run, is in the rivers. A lot of those salmon are starting to push back out into the lake. So you're going to be able to catch them, you know, if you're fishing from shore, your best odds are probably going to be off of the pier. And that would be, you know, casting a spoon, utilizing a, you know, just kind of like I don't even know the name of it, but a standard, you know, bottom rig where you're casting a big weight out there.
Or a jig. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, sinking the weight to the bottom, and then you've got, you know, a spawn sack or some skein, which is also just it's a different form of the fish roe.
What is that?
So that it's just the more adolescent eggs. So usually when you catch fish a little bit earlier in the year, they'll have skein in them instead of, you know, whole eggs.
Oh.
And it's just more tightly packed. It's got kind of a membrane holding it all together.
It's prepackaged.
Just releases a little bit more scent and gives them a little bit different look.
Nice.
But, you know, your other options, if you are able to get in a boat, or if you're able to, you know, get a guide to take you out or anything like that, going out, you know, trolling spoons, trolling meat rigs is going to come up here pretty good. You know, teaser flies, whatever it is. The big lake is about to start, you know, catching on fire, per se.
Cool. Very cool. So, turkey season winding down right now?
Yeah, you know, it's still going. We still get a few people coming in getting licenses, but we're definitely getting to the tail end of it.
Yeah, exactly. So walleyes, you probably had a big season with those. I went down about 3 weeks ago, still got scars healing up from that trip, but the walleye's been real good this year, I've heard. Yeah,
that, I mean, I tell you what, that fishery is one of the most special fisheries in the country, I believe.
And, yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter, you know, when you go down there, you've always got the chance to get a limit in half hour and, you know, drive your way back nice and happy. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's a special time of year for sure when those walleye get in the Detroit and St. Clair River for sure.
That's awesome. So, Ben, where do we find your store?
Yeah, so we're going to be on 68th Street. We're right behind the Marathon gas station, right off the highway. If you're driving on 131, you'll see us right off the highway. We've got the horse in the parking lot, and you can see the sign on the building.
And we're talking about the south end of Grand Rapids for those of you listening in other areas. So it's 131 south end of Grand Rapids, Allen Bob Sports. You got to check them out. Ben Rand, thank you so much for your time and expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on, and I hope everybody enjoys the spring.
Yeah, we sure are.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I'm excited. Yeah. All right, thanks, buddy.
All right. You know, Allen Bob's been with us since we started,
yeah,
and that's pretty cool. They continue to be. This is a place where you can go and you're not getting the aisle manager. Well, you're getting guys that do this and,
right,
and enjoy
there.
Their...
What you just saw right there, you can't get that at Cabela's.
Right.
You can't. You know, this is where you get that guy in the store working, and that's what you want. So,
yep, exactly.
It's awesome.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get back to grilling equipment and getting you going for the if you're a starter and getting into the grilling for the first time. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys. And, you know, Bob, every time we talk to Allen Bob's, I learn something. These guys are a wealth of knowledge. They got great equipment. Their prices are very fair. And it's just a pleasure to do business with a local business that gets it. And they built their business on service and having the right people in.
It's like I said, though, you know, it's a store you can walk into and find that guy. You know, he just, you feel so lucky when you run into somebody with that kind of knowledge instead of, you know, just some minimum wage clerk who's only there because they just need a job.
Yeah.
You know, big box kind of thing.
Yep.
Stapled up.
I get it.
Tattooed.
I get it. So... Bob and I run in. We'll get back to this. We covered this in the second segment, and I want to pick it up where we left off. Oftentimes, we talk about a little more sophisticated things in the grilling world just because, you know, it interests us. But what we really need to focus on is what interests you. And, Bob, you said you ran into a guy, young man, that was looking to buy his first grill.
Yeah.
We covered charcoal grills on the beginning. You know, the gas grills are in this world that we live in. People are impatient. They're hustling around. It's reality. And so they gravitate to a gas grill, which is light it and cook in a minute.
And you go to the big box stores, and that's the first thing you run into.
Right.
But, you know, thanks to Jethro and listening to their ads, I ran into this Martin Rogalski in Jenison, and I decided to give him a call. We ended up doing all of our trust legal work and everything with them wills, and the guy was awesome. So I'm talking to this GI, and it turns out he says his name is Rogalski, and I go, wow, any relation to Martin? He goes, yeah, it's my dad.
Yeah, right.
It's like, oh, how cool is that?
Yeah.
So here's a nice young kid who's trying to get into grilling. He's, you know, in the guards, done a couple tours, he's back home buying a house, yada yada, gonna do all these things now. And that inspires me. When I meet young people that are getting in, you know I have a chance to help them maybe save some of the mistakes we made when we were those young dads, young husbands.
Sure.
Ruining pieces of meat on right. the grill.
So let's talk about that. So burgers, everybody does burgers. That's got to be one of your, if it's not a dog, it's a burger, are your first two items that you ever do.
Yeah, and you set it up perfectly before in terms of don't put too much charcoal on.
Right.
There's a classic example. Doesn't take much to do a couple burgers. What's the average guy going to grill? Four, maybe?
Yeah.
That's this much charcoal. It's just...
Right. This like much about the size of a softball.
A football, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you don't need the bag in there because it does burn. You know, you buy good lump, a softball-sized pile of lump charcoal, and we'll explain the difference in a second here. That'll burn for 2 hours.
And here's the beauty of what you said. If you do put it off to one side versus the center, you have an area to slide. Let's say you're a little hot and you can see it blackening a little bit and you don't want to do that. Then you just move it over, get it over to that other side and let them indirect for a while and put your lid back on and let them cook on the side. Once you've got a good scoring on or a searing, move them over and just let them finish off with just heat. And not necessarily causing a flame.
Yep, perfect. Another thing that comes to mind is if you've got somebody in your family that doesn't like any pink in their burger, they'll learn to. But if they don't, and you put all your burgers on at one time, those of us that like a medium, you know, we're going to slide those away from the heat. And while you're still cooking the ones that want them well done and no pink in their burger, then they stay over the heat. And it's just, you'll get a feel for that. You know, one of the tools that we subscribe that everybody should have is a good digital thermometer, because the number one mistake that people make on the grill, bar none, is overcooking stuff. And the only way to assure yourself you're not overcooking it is to know what the temperature of the meat is while you're cooking it. How do you do
that? Go to thegrillingguys.com, look on the right side, look for an icon. You'll see Alan Bob's, you'll see all of our sponsors over there, but you'll see one that says ThermoWorks.
Right.
And they make the ThermoPen. And that thing, it's American made, you'll fall in love with it. Use it once and you'll say, oh my gosh, I'll never use another temperature
device indicator. Again. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, because the reason that those are cool, it's instant read. You don't have to hold it in there for 10 minutes. It's like 2 seconds.
You don't need to stick it in the meat and shut the grill.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But it's you know, and then you've got different proteins are at different temperatures when they're doneness. You can find that all over the internet. But if you're cooking a burger, you get it to 135 in the center. You got a medium burger. It'll be dark on the outside, but it'll still be pink on the inside and juicy.
And
that's where I like my burger.
Okay, if you're getting good burger from somebody like Sobey,
right,
or a good butcher, you can do that.
Right.
If you're going to one of the big box stores, and again, not a fan of those meats at all.
Yeah, buying your burger in a plastic tube.
It comes out of the burger factory.
Right.
You know, and that's how people will end up having problems.
Right. So that
is... Yeah, if you see it in a tube, do not pick it up. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But that is rule number two, is that use quality ingredients and you'll get quality results. If you use cheap ingredients, you might get lucky, but generally there's a reason that it costs a little more. And you go to Sobey Meats, Northwest Side on Remembrance Drive, and they grind their own ground beef, right? So you're not getting it from a factory. You're getting it that was ground fresh, maybe yesterday.
I'm so hungry right now.
But probably this morning it was ground when you get over there. Fresh makes a difference.
Yeah.
Okay? It just does.
Yep.
And so, you know, you might spend 10, 15 cents a pound more maybe to get the good stuff in it, the whole scope of things. You know, you're doing a quarter-pound burger, you can get four of them out of a pound. It's worth the drive. Go get the good stuff.
You can get two out of a pound.
Right, yeah, right. If you're, if you got big buns, right? Well, hey, that's a whole different story.
Hey,
yeah, I get it.
You'll end up with them.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think a lot of people also struggle with things like brats. You're going to start off, you're going to go and get yourself some Johnsonville brats, whatever supermarket you're at. Now, again, Sobey commercial, but... You want some good brats, see your butcher.
Right.
Gasobi has tons of brats, but there's stores all over the place that specialize in making brats and kielbasa. And go see your local butcher, get some brats, and then how are you going to grill them? Well, you just throw them on a hot grill?
Yeah, there's some technique with
brats. Do you boil them?
You can.
Why?
To get them started, because they're round and you got to get it cooked all the way through, and there's fat in there which makes them very, very tasty. But if that skin pops, then you get the
fire.
Right. It'll get on your coals, so, and then you're going to get a flare up. So some people will boil them ahead
of
time.
Not a fan.
At it either.
You know,
at all,
I have a rule for my kids when they're coming over, or when my wife goes to the store, and I'm just that way. Imagine that.
Yeah.
But if the bread has a colored wrapper, don't buy it. Well, I'm going to say, because it's coming out of a factory, I want it from a bakery. They have plain wrappers with a
clear bag,
a black and white label. I want to see my meat the same way. I don't want and I don't mind Johnsonville. I honestly like their brats because they're out of Wisconsin. They do no brats in Wisconsin, but it's the same way with brats. If it's a factory built brat, you better bring that baby up to 165,
right?
Because it's factory.
Yep,
their machinery doesn't get clean like your butcher does.
Right. Yeah. Butcher tears equipment down every night, clean it, and then use it again the next day over and over and over. And cleanliness is a big thing. Is a big thing when these things are made. But brats to me are tasty.
Fantastic.
You can get, I think Sobey's got over 30 flavors that he makes. I don't know if they're all in the meat case at the same time, but I had a list of them
hungry.
So yeah, it's cool to be able to do that. So if you do get flare-ups on your brats, that's why we have the hot spot on the grill. Slide them over a little bit. So if they are leaking a little bit, because as that brat cooks, the fat renders, and it's got to go somewhere. You'd like it to stay in there.
It wants to drip down on the fire.
Right, and when it does, you're going to get flare-ups, and then you get burnt brats, and then those aren't nearly as good as grilled ones.
You got wasted protein.
Right, but anyway, at the end of the day, brats, burgers, dogs, get out there and try it.
I love a hot dog, too.
Yeah,
I'll grill too. A dog any day.
Yeah.
I'll grill three.
Right.
Just for me.
Yeah. Right, I get it, man. I order them.
We need to do a hot dog show again. I'm so hungry.
Yeah, all right. Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week and listening to this banter back and forth. But get out and create some grill envy in your neighborhood, would you? Because it's that time of year and it's a lot of fun.
That's right.
All right, so take care. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.